Matthew chapter 25. The previous chapter is given over to many aspects of the coming of our Lord, and in the latter part of that chapter, some of them will be hypocrites, and they will be cut asunder and cast out, and he says there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and the 25th chapter starts with these words. Then, at that time, shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. So you see, he's painting a picture here of something that will be the general condition or the likeness as he tells this story. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. The margin says, they're going out. Evidently their lamps were flickering and they didn't have much oil left. But the wise answered and said, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, the 11th verse. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Over and over and over and over, we are encouraged and admonished and told to be ready. And Jesus has emphasized the fact that we should be ready for this great and wonderful event that's going to take place upon the face of the earth, the coming of Jesus Christ back to this earth again. There never has been anything like it. There never again will be anything like it. There will never be such a great change and a great consternation in the minds of men as will take place at the coming of Christ. There will never be such a time of great rejoicing as there will be at the time when Jesus appears to take to himself those that love him. And therefore we are warned, we are encouraged, we are told over and over and over, be ready. What does it mean to be ready? What does it mean? To be prepared or supplied for any event or circumstance, for any act or thing that will come. This is how we prepare or get ready. When we lived in Eden Valley, Minnesota, we had a young man that worked in a store. He was manager of a store there. And in this grocery store, many times he'd have to work till midnight, sometimes 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, just to get ready for the next day. Now, someone could have said, well, why do you have to put so much time in at night working in this store? But he said, I've got to have those shelves filled, because when the people start coming in, I don't have time to get ready. He had to be ready for those people who would come into his stores on the coming day. He had to prepare. He couldn't wait until the people started coming in and then plan to be ready. So it meant night work. It meant doing his homework. It meant doing the things that he had to do when no one was around and watching. And maybe some people might have thought, well, he surely has an easy life, not much to do. But believe me, when you close the doors and lock the doors at night and saw what went on inside after work, or after the buying hours, You knew that this man was working just to be ready. He wanted to be ready to meet those people that would come to him. Every year we have a Decoration Day program. This last May we had a program. The soldiers marched out here, those men who had carried the uniform of our nation. They lined up and they had their guns and they faced toward the east, and I've forgotten who the man was. I think it was Brother Fridley or someone said to them, "Ready, aim, fire." Well, they had to get ready. They didn't point their guns down at the ground and then fire that way. They put them up in the air, and all of them put them up together. But they all prepared for that time when the command was given for them to fire. I remember when I was a boy that people used to go around the country barnstorming in small airplanes, and that's when airplanes were relatively new, and I was always intrigued by those fellows that get out in front and twist the propeller. The fellow up in the cockpit would say, "Contact." The fellow down in the front twisting the propeller would say, "Contact." And then after he twisted it two or three times and got enough gasoline up into the carburetor, he'd turn on the key and he says, "Contact," and the way that thing would go. It'd just sputter and smoke for a moment, but away it'd go. Because they were waiting for the psychological moment and everything was prepared, and then it was ready. So you see, there are a lot of things that we prepare for in life just to be ready for that instant, that second that needs everything that we've got to be ready for. This is true of life. This is true of when Jesus comes. And so over and over, he said for us, "Be ye therefore ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." Without a question, we're living in days that are very similar to the days of Noah. Those were days filled with violence. We don't have to be told that we're living in days filled with violence. Violence on a local scale, a national scale, a worldwide scale. Violence everywhere. We're living in a day when the thoughts of men are only evil continually. Everywhere we find the same thing, worldwide. We find, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Immoral, to the extent that God couldn't find at least 10 people in the city of Sodom, so he had to burn it up with fire. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And when we see these conditions about us, it should stir every one of us and say, we're living in these days. We better get ready. We don't know when this moment will come that Jesus shall appear. We have this story about the wise and foolish virgins. We have that, and we think about it, and we see that there's something really inspiring about it. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps, and they went forth to meet the bridegroom." It's an Eastern custom that whenever there's a marriage takes place, that the groom will go and get the bride, and then he will bring her back to his home. And when they bring them back to the home, why then, of course, they will rejoice together. And these virgins who were waiting were 10 in number. They were waiting with their lamps. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. It's an interesting thing to notice what this foolish means in the Greek. The word foolish means that they were morons. If I would say there's a lot of people here that are morons, or a lot of people living in this world that are morons, you'd say, well, what does that mean? Well, it means this. The lowest on the scale is an idiot. He doesn't have any sense at all. And then there's an imbecile. He has a little bit of sense. And then the moron is the one who doesn't ever grow above the age of 12 in his thinking. And this is what the word foolish means in this particular passage. People who really are children in their thinking. They don't become mature. They don't become adults. They just think like children. Now, children, don't worry too much about what's going to happen tomorrow. They're not too worried about where they're going to eat or where they're going to sleep. They don't exactly worry about whether they turn the lights on or whether they leave them off or exactly what. It doesn't make any difference to them about the light bill or the phone bill or any other bill, because they don't have to pay them. You see, they haven't matured to that place where it comes their responsibility. But when we grow up and when we become mature and when we have to pay the bills and when we do those things, then we get out of that childishness in pretty fast order. We see then that we have to take that responsibility. Jesus tells us, get out of that childish way. Grow up. And he makes this comparison here of five virgins who were waiting for the bridegroom. They were wise. And you know why they were wise? They were wise because when they went out with their lamps, they took extra oil in their vessels. Oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. It's a picture of the Holy Spirit. And when you think about the Christian who goes out to meet the Lord and he's waiting, he better have his lamp filled with oil or filled with the Spirit. For Paul says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And so every Christian needs to be filled with the Spirit, and he needs to be constantly being refilled with the Spirit, lest his own carnal spirit destroy his testimony or put out his light. Whenever we sing this little song, Let Your Light Shine, it always takes oil, some kind of oil or some kind of a concoction to make oil or make a light burn. And so we find that this is the story here. All of the virgins rose, they took their lamps, and when the cry went out, the bridegroom cometh, here they were. They were all waiting to meet him. But five were wise and five were foolish. And it was close to the midnight hour. And notice the startling words, and that was such a final thing. It says, they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. I think about the time when Noah went into the ark, and God shut the door. It was shut. It was sealed. Couldn't be opened by man. All who were inside were safe. All on the outside were left to be destroyed. And when Jesus comes, there won't be any second chance. There won't be anyone who with a key. There won't be any back door. There won't be any way to get in. But it'll be just a matter, either be ready or else we're left outside. I don't know what we've ever thought about or tried to contemplate what it will be like if we're left outside. At least when these were left outside, according to Matthew 24, it says there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. And when that sudden realization comes upon us, if we are among those foolish ones, among those morons, among those who have put off the day of the coming of the Lord and not prepared, if we wait till that day and are left outside and the door is shut, what a sad thing. We notice that these five morons came back later and they knocked on the door and they said, let us in, let us in. And he says, I don't even know you. And so they were left outside, and even their knocking didn't help the matter any. When they came back, they were just left out. And this is a picture of what it will be like when Jesus comes. This will be the general picture of some will be left outside, and they cannot get in because the door is shut, and that's the finale of that great and wonderful episode that's coming upon the earth. So to be prepared is to be watching and waiting. Jesus says, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch and work. Be ready. Be prepared for that great and wonderful day when Jesus shall come. There's another thing that Jesus gave in a little parable about that's very similar to this over in the 14th chapter of Luke in the 16th verse. One of them that sat with meats heard him say these things, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. And then he said, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. I suppose everyone here has had the experience of some time in your life of inviting your friends or those that you know in to eat with you. And all of us anticipate and look forward to that time when we will be given that wonderful privilege to eat with our friends. I'd like to go into your homes and eat with you. We like to have our friends come in and eat with us. And I don't think there's anything that's any nicer than to have people come in and put their feet under your table and eat together. And it seems like then when we can fellowship together around a table and we can enjoy those things together after we have eaten a wonderful meal and had that fellowship in communion with one another. And so Jesus gives this parable. Certain man made a supper and he bade many. He sent his servants out at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are ready. It's time. Sometimes we look forward to a thing a long time. Sometimes people invite us 2 or 3 weeks ahead of time and we'll say, well, on such and such a date, why, we're going to a certain place. And then before we realize it, here the day is upon us. Well, it's time. Here we are. He says, all things are now ready. So they call up and they say, don't forget, tomorrow night, that's the time. Okay, we'll be there. So he said, come, for all things are now ready. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. Have you ever had that experience? Someone says, well, I've got something else to do. It was true in Jesus' day, and I suppose it'll always be true as long as people live, that they'll always make excuses for not wanting to do some things that they should do. The first one said, I have bought a piece of ground. I got to go and see it. I pray you have me excused. Now, how many of you men would go out and buy a piece of ground and then when you're invited to go out to someone's place for supper, why, then you say, well, I've just got to go and see this piece of land. It could wait, couldn't it? It would probably be there after you had the supper. It would be just as beautiful or just as nice and wonderful after the supper as before. But he says, I bought a piece of ground. I must needs go see it. Have me excused, please. And then another said, I bought a yoke of oxen. I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. If we put it in modern terms, why, some of you fellows would say, well, I bought a tractor. I've got to go out and try it out. Now, anyone that buys a $10,000 tractor today, he's not going to wait until after he's paid for it before he tries it out and sees what it'll do. He wants that thing demonstrated. He wants to get up there in the seat and put it in gear and put the plow on the ground and see how much that thing will really, really turn over. So he said, I've got these oxen. I've got to go see if they're any good or not. He says, I pray thee have me excused. And then the third one, he said, I have married a wife and I cannot come. This was really the crowning climax of all the excuses. I've married a wife and can't come. Please have me excused. You see, he had three different areas in which the people were excused. One had property, one had business, and one had married a wife. So they were all legitimate excuses, weren't they? Weren't they? At least they were in the minds of the people that gave them. So the servant came and showed his lord these things, and the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly in the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there's room. In other words, these people that were invited to the supper are excused. And when we make excuses for not wanting to get ready to meet the Lord, the chances are we may be excused. And it's going to be a sad, sad time for all who make excuses for not wanting to serve the Lord or be ready to meet Him. He invites us to a wonderful feast of good things. Have you ever invited someone to church and they say, well, I got to go over and see some of my relation. You know, we have this big gathering every once a year and we just got to go. Or they have something else that they've got to fix. Or there's something else that they've got to do on that particular time. And so they have to be excused. And it could be at that particular time that one of the most powerful messages could come that would strike them and touch their lives and make them different. It could just be. That could be the crucial time as far as they're concerned. And so we find that excuses were not acceptable with Jesus. He said, go out and get all of those, the poor, the maimed, the blind, all of these people. They don't have all of this property. They don't have land. They don't have all this property. They don't have all of these things. Bring them in. So they were brought in. And he said, there's plenty of room. The Lord said, go out in the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. In other words, those who were invited and who ask to be excused, they'll be excused. In the Old Testament, one time, it was Malachi the prophet who said, you talk about it's such a weariness to serve the Lord, such a weariness to make these sacrifices. I suppose when Jesus went toward the cross, he became very weary. I just suppose that his heart was pretty heavy when he prayed for people and they made all kinds of excuses. I suppose he was heavy-hearted even when Peter denied him 3 times and cursed and swore and said he didn't know him. I suppose his heart was just about broken. And finally he said to Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And he says, when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. One of the things that we have to do in life is be converted. Be converted in our heart and in our mind, and we have to have a converted outlook on life. We have to have a conversion that will reach into the fellowship of our friends and neighbors, into our business, into our pleasures. And when we're converted, we don't have to be coerced or forced or in any way pressure be brought upon us when we're invited into feast at the house of the Lord and at His table. We don't have to be forced. Just invited. He said the poor, the maimed, the blind, these common people heard Jesus gladly. And they came and they rejoiced in the things that He could do for them. In the last part of the Bible, in the 19th chapter of Revelation, we are told there of a great wedding feast that takes place, the marriage of the Lamb. In the 19th chapter, John tells us this story. There were those who were around the throne, and it says of them, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. To her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Wouldn't it be amazing to see some girl who was going to be married wait until the last day or the night before and then see her come stringing in to the dressing room with her hair half done up and with her dress half made and with some of the everyday shoes on her feet, and she wasn't ready for the wedding at all. Wouldn't that be amazing? Well, some of these girls, when they're going to get married, they plan 6 months in advance and their mother's playing with them, and the whole house is in a continual stir until those girls march up the aisle. They're getting ready. Believe me, they're not only getting their clothes ready, they're getting ready psychologically for that great event when they'll walk up the aisle. This great wedding that's taking place is the marriage of Jesus Christ to his bride, the church. And his wife hath made herself ready. She's clothed in fine linen, which is the righteousness of the saints. She hasn't taken some old dirty clothes that she's worn all along. She's cast those aside and she's put on the righteousness of the Lord. She's ready. She's ready for that great and wonderful event when she shall become one in purpose and in plan with her Lord and Savior. This is the picture given to us in Revelation. The wedding will someday take place. All of those who are ready can have a part in it. And if you're part of the bride of Christ, if you're part of the bride of Christ, you'll want to be ready so that any day you may come, you can enter into that relationship with him. It'll be a personal thing. It'll be something that you have to do. It'll be something that cannot be bought, but it has to be prepared over the years and through your experience. Are you ready? We sang that song this morning about ready for the coming of the Lord. May we each one think seriously about this great wedding feast that's coming and then prepare for that day when Jesus shall come. Loving Father in heaven, we pray that each one of us will be ready when Jesus comes. For we pray in his name and for his sake. Amen.